2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. So I said yesterday, when Rob Ninkovich was in with us and actually knew which one of us was which.
That was an upset.
Well, he claimed he knew which one
it
was
is
which.
50,
he
did, 50.
Yeah, you know, you got half a chance to get it right.
Because we didn't say, you know, what is my name? It was, which one is Dale? So right away, you know, you take part of that out.
Now, for everyone listening, like myself, and you guys are down there.
Yeah.
What was his face? I feel like he was very embarrassed.
He was laughing. He knew that he had made a mistake with it.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear that, yeah, I know, I got that wrong.
Pretty
it
clear.
Seemed like as soon as you said, he's like, oh, yeah, that was me.
That was fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he did say something. You just heard it in the open there, because we were talking about Rob Gronkowski, who, by any measure, forget about, you know, the measurements of Tom Brady's season, by any measurement you want to use for Rob Gronkowski, he's had a down year this year. I mean, we don't think he's healthy completely.
Yeah, going out on a whimper.
Seems that way.
Yeah,
feels
it
that
seems
way.
Like it. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of football players do it, though. Very rarely. I mean, you remember the guys that, you know, ended their career with the Super Bowl or ended their career. And a lot of times, if they play well at the end of their career, you're like, man, he retired early. Like, you could have played more. But more often than not, you see a kind of drop-off. And everybody, we were just talking about Tom Brady in that article written about Tom Brady's drop-off. And that's been a much bigger debate because he's a much bigger star. But the Rob Gronkowski drop-off has been much more significant.
So I mentioned to Rob yesterday that I don't think Rob Gronkowski is going to be back here next year. And Rob responded, I'm curious, though, how they're going to handle this offseason. You said they've got to load up. You look at the salary cap situation here, and you know, you've got some big contracts, some big salary cap numbers for some guys who are a little older. You got a tight end who has been as good who has ever played the position, but sure doesn't look at this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what happened in the preseason here, and you know, he was potentially going to another team, and that kind of doesn't bode well for moving forward. You know, now they already tried.
I don't think he'll be here next year.
I think it's. I don't think that he'll be necessarily a Patriot, but on the flip side of that, you know, he said he's not going to play for another team, so I could see him walking away and doing, you know, something else.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
Yeah, but
I do.
You like how I weighed in there, too?
Thank you. Thank
Did you like
thank
that?
You, Rich.
I went too long without talking. I thought I needed to jump in
I gotta
there.
I got to say something.
I like, guys, they're going to forget I'm here. So I got in there. I agree with them.
Do you want to know what you said right after that?
No.
I'll get it.
No, because he's
probably
trying to
fine.
Set you up
probably
like
Probably fine. No, I don't like where that's headed.
No.
You can stop whatever you're doing back there, you can stop that. Stop whatever you're doing. Stop scurrying around back there. Stop it. Stop touching the computers in there. Pay attention. Listen to the show. You're not listening to the show right now. But it's one thing for a slap like me to say Gronk is done.
But
for Rob Ninkovich, who is a former teammate, and I'm going to go ahead and say friend. I would say they're friends.
Close.
I think he's
brought it up on the show before.
Yeah, they are. They're buddies.
That he's texted him while he was on the show.
Yeah, I can tell you that he has looked at his phone when he's sitting with us saying, oh, Gronk's texting me.
Because you know that he kind of pauses there a little bit, but he's like, yeah, I don't. So first of all, he was saying, I don't think he's going to be on this team next year. But then he followed that up by saying, well, you know, he only wants to play with Brady. So yeah, he's done. I mean, wouldn't it now be much more surprising if he was back with the Patriots than other scenario? And I know a lot of us have been saying that for a long time. You know, Kern, who's on with us every week, he's been kind of saying the same thing. But for Rob Ninkovich to say it too at this point, where I'm sure these guys have been talking to each other semi-regularly, and that's it. And that's definitely, and that's where we got into the playmaker conversation too early on with Ninkovich.
And by the way, let me just add to that,
yeah,
at the risk of a quick interruption here, you ain't exactly hip deep at the tight end position either.
It's poor.
I mean, behind Gronk, you've got Dwayne Allen and your guy, Jacob Hollister,
who...
No, don't even
has
try.
Has a lot of potential.
Don't even try.
He's a nice player.
He has shown nothing.
He's in the trust tree with Brady. Every time Brady throws to him, he seems to make a nice grab.
How many times has he thrown to him this year?
What was that, three or four? We're efforting that. It's too many to
Let's
count.
Let's just say not a lot.
I can count on my hand how many times he has caught a pass this year. He has had 4 catches on 5 targets. That's a super high percentage.
Oh, yeah, huge. He hasn't played 16 games, but how many games did he play?
Played in 8.
8 games, so less than a target per game.
Only 2 of those games was he targeted.
Oh, 2 of the games.
Rossi, you don't need to add in with more of your stats. He is a guy, though, that I thought did some of the Aaron Hernandez-type things in the offense where you could line him up in different places. No? You guys aren't? All right. So they need to get a tight end next year. Fine. They got to get a tight end.
Yes.
And meanwhile, by the way, tight ends around the league, I don't know if you've noticed, Zach Ertz has 300 catches this year.
They're sort of a big deal
this year. George Kittle is unbelievable. And then Travis Kelce might be better than both of them. Well, maybe not. But they're in that, like, there are at least three guys that have passed Gronk by. And then everyone, well, Gronk's a great blocker. Like, that argument is sad. That is a sad.
Dwayne Allen's a great blocker,
exactly.
Too. But
that's such a sad argument. And you know all the Gronk fans. I'm a Gronk fan myself. But all the Gronk fans that can't stand the fact that he's not the best tight end anymore. Well, those other guys are just receivers. Like, okay, I think this offense would take a receiver. You think this offense would take George Kittle right now?
Yes.
You think this Zach Ertz? If I said Zach Ertz or Gronk. And that it pains you. It pains you to say it. But Zach Ertz is better. Travis Kelce is a loser. He is a turd sandwich. But he is better at football right now than Gronk is.
Can he block?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't mean block at all. I don't want him to block. I want him to run out there and catch passes. So that is the sad reality for Gronk this year. And I also don't think he has anything left in the tank.
I mean, let's just think about this for a minute.
I'm thinking about it.
We think that Phillip Rivers has had a better year than Tom Brady.
Yes.
He has.
Yes.
We think that Rob Gronkowski has been a shadow of his former self.
Yes.
The guy that you brought in here to be your deep threat wide receiver unfortunately flunked out again in the drug screening process and has been suspended indefinitely.
Uh-huh.
Why are we so confident about the Patriots on Sunday?
Who said we're so confident? Who's so confident?
I think the callers seem to be fairly confident. Well, of course they're going to win at home. I mean,
well,
come on, it's going to be cold. It's going to be snowy. They're going to win.
I love the fact that they're at home, obviously. I mean, they haven't lost a game at home this year, so you should feel good about that. But then when you compare it to the Chargers are awesome on the road, you go, oh, no. Like, is that a bit of a wash? I still think it is Belichick and Brady at home in the divisional round. Like, all that. And maybe we shouldn't be looking back at history and all the numbers. Oh, the Brady's 7-0 against Phillip Rivers. Like, okay, well. That was also a long time ago.
4-0 here.
A lot of those games were a long time ago, though.
And we were talking about this during the break. Generally speaking, in the past, the Patriots would be going into this game, you know, a bye week. Now you're taking on the team that survived the wild card round. You're playing them in the second round of the playoffs, and you'd be saying, "What are you kidding me?
It's not even, this team.
This is not even going to be a game,
right? You're going to smoke whoever."
And
it
you're
is.
Sitting here going into this weekend saying, "I don't know. I mean, well, they had to travel a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's why you needed Houston to win. That would have made it the easiest thing in the world because then now the Chargers and Chiefs could have played each other for a third time, and those might be the two best teams in the conference.
Yeah.
They have the two best records anyway. Let them play each other again, and then you know maybe even have a home game still out of it, but." Houston couldn't do that for you, so now you have a real game. You have a real divisional round opponent here on Sunday, where, again, most years you're right. You're saying, all right, who's it going to be in the championship game?
Is the AFC title game going to be here, or are they going to have to travel?
Right, exactly. And so
this is the least confident I can remember during the Brady Belichick era that I've been going into this round of this game. You had a bye week.
Yeah.
You were sitting home. You're taking on a team that survived the wild card round. And my confidence level is not high.
I was going to say, because there's been years where they've lost. Like, when they lost to the Jets, my confidence level going in was really high. I guess it shouldn't have been, because they lost to them. They lost
right.
to Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan. But they just smoked him in the regular season, so I felt good about it. But, yeah, as far as head-to-head, I'm actually kind of surprised the spread is even... Although I think it opened at 4.5, and it's already down to 4. I could see it to drop a little bit more, because all the early money went in on the Chargers. All of it did. Both money line and against the spread. All went on the Chargers, which makes sense. My first thought was 4.5. Like, I will definitely take the Chargers. I still think, though, at home, it's going to be tough for me to pick the Patriots, but I don't know anybody that's saying it's going to be a blowout either way.
No, this
is going to be super close regardless.
Forget about the blowout.
I don't know how you
part.
Got a lot of confidence.
I just don't know how
way.
Confident I am that they even win.
But this would be, and I don't know if the. The M&M investments, they probably wait till Friday, I would assume.
We have something that's going to be coming up for a noon 30 on Thursday, a tease that we have the real betting expert will be in with us on Thursday.
Who on earth is that?
At what point were we going to discuss this?
Who on earth is that?
Breaking it right now. We have an on-air conversation.
Big Cat from Barstool Advisors?
Someone that has won hundreds of dollars over the past few weeks.
Did you say hundreds?
Yeah, they're only thousands. I'm being honest.
Hundreds. What are we going to do with hundreds?
we're talking about betting what they say.
We want thick stacks, is what we want.
They may be in the thousands at this point. How about that?
They may be.
Last I heard,
they may be in the thousands at
thousand
this point. Is what Rossi says. Like, I want to hear from that person.
This is someone. Unlike Mutt, who went 0 for 5 on his bets this past week.
Is that right?
Had a tough weekend.
Mutt went 0 for 5?
He did, yeah.
Come on, Mutt.
So he's got this podcast, and this gentleman...
Wait, this other guy has a podcast, or Mutt
This
does?
Other guy does not.
Oh.
But it's part of the station.
But apparently, Rossi's lobbying for him to get one.
Oh, he's part of the station?
I think I've lost interest.
I thought it was somebody from the outside.
Behind the scenes.
Like a dark horse.
Someone behind the scenes.
Oh, I think I might know who it is, actually.
That's going to be a new
30. Oh, if it's who I think it is, I love this person.
Well, look at this.
Is that who it is?
It is, I believe.
What is there, some mind meld going on here?
Well, I only love like two people here, so Rossi knows what
we've narrowed it down.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. He loves two, and Dale, me and you work with him. So.
Yeah, so
you guys each
we're not on the list.
You guys each share one place in my heart.
That's nice.
That's what that sounds.
617.
Hold on, Dale, before we go.
But I wasn't going to go. I was going to go to the call.
We're not going anywhere. We're here till 2.
We got a ways to go.
You want to hear? I got a tease.
What were we talking about just now? I had something witty to add to it.
You're talking about betting. About
no. Before you interrupted us rudely, we were talking about something else. What was it? George Kittle? No, it was something else.
I could see him walking away and doing something else.
Yeah, I think that's probably it.
Yeah, but
I do. By the way, one catch, 21 yards.
One
Super Bowl.
21 yards.
Yeah, one pretty catch. Good.
We were talking about Ocho Cinco, and people wanted to know because Ninkovich didn't even remember. That's how forgettable the Ocho Cinco era was here. He didn't even remember he was on a Super Bowl losing team. Ocho Cinco winning
record
in the
playoffs.
Drops a
bomb about Gronk retiring.
That's my radio
instincts. And you need to get back to
those
that.
Are my instincts.
I'm just kidding.
Earl is in Springfield.
That little bomb that he dropped, Rossi. Everybody's been saying that for 6 months.
Hey, Earl, how you doing?
Hey, man, how's it going?
What's going on?
First time calling, long time listener.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, my concern is about the tight end situation, because I don't want to dwell on past history, but when Gronk was paired with Aaron Hernandez, that was the best tight end combo I ever seen in my life. That was like my favorite version of the Patriots offense.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was great.
Through all the offenses that they had. My question is there a way of like preserving Gronk by adding a player of the Aaron Hernandez quality or type of player that he was, like if they be no huddle, flex in the backfield, and then in the next play they could go 5 wide, and then the next play they can go 3 deep in the slot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
Is there a way?
Yeah, I think they have that guy.
Yeah, don't you eat
Jacob Hollister. They have that player right now.
I would say the chances of finding that player before Sunday are fairly slim.
I don't think
so. If it's not Jacob Hollister.
But
if we don't turn Dwayne Allen into a catch machine.
But it's a good question, big picture. For years and years and years, they've liked the two tight ends, whether it was Watson and Graham. You know, get Fourier and they go all the way back to Wiggy. They've had a lot. There was one year they drafted David Thomas and Garrett Mills. So they have wanted two tight ends for a long time. And if Gronk retires, Dwayne Allen's a bum, and Hollister can't stay healthy, yeah, they might need to go out there and get two more tight ends.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinest. We've got a Kiefer Madness coming up at noon 30 today. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Patriots' march to Atlanta starts right here as they get ready to do battle with the Chargers. React and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's time for our regular weekly conversation with New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinest. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Willie McGinest. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I am well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Is the Patriots-Chargers matchup the one you were expecting coming out of Wild Card Weekend?
You know what? You never know what to expect. It's been a crazy year, but the Chargers have done everything this year to put themselves in position to be in the playoffs, especially on the road. And, I'm not surprised that they're in the playoffs, and this is a great matchup coming up this week.
What do you think of that defensive front for the Chargers? I mean, Bosa and Ingram get all the attention, but just how good is that group?
They do a good job, man. And I gave Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator, a lot of credit yesterday on the show, because a lot of people wondered how would they adjust against, Baltimore's rush game and Lamar Jackson's second meeting. And I thought he did a good job. He changed packages. He changed the personnel groups. And he had a really athletic front. I mean, front seven up in there. He had a penny package where it was three safeties pretty much playing the stack linebacker position. And they made a great adjustment. They're talented. They're aggressive. They can rush the passer. They can run. They cover. They do a great job.
You know, when you looked at the defensive game plan for the Chargers with the seven DBs and you had two linebackers who only played one defensive snap each, I was thinking from the Patriots' perspective, they probably just chuck this entire film when they're going to break down the Chargers because they'll never see that same setup, will they?
Well, you never know. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a lot different than Tom Brady, of course. We all know that. And you got to defend him differently when you're playing against him and try to make him one-dimensional, which the Chargers did a great job of. And, you know, it's a league of adjustments, man. And I think that it's smart when coordinators do that. There's no telling how they will adjust against the Patriots. The Patriots will probably attack them a little bit different. Of course, when you talk about athleticism and getting out of the pocket, Lamar Jackson is a lot different than Tom Brady, what he brings to the table. So, of course, I think we'll see a different scheme, a different package. But that's what the playoffs are about. It's a different opponent that don't play. You know, they're not in the same division. They don't play all the time. So there'll be a lot of surprises. I'm sure the Patriots will have some things that the Chargers haven't seen, and I'm sure the Chargers will do the same.
What do you think the biggest challenges for the Patriots' defense will be against Phillip Rivers and their offense?
Well, I think it starts with Melvin Gordon in the run game, to see how healthy he is. Gordon and Heckler not giving up, you know, huge runs, gashing runs, a lot of setup off of that play action. And I know the elements come Sunday may be a factor, so we'll see how that goes. But both teams, I think, run the ball very well. They do a lot with Melvin Gordon in and out of the backfield, and that sets up a lot of explosive plays down the field. So it starts there up front.
When you were a player here and you would get a dome team or a warm weather team coming into town in January, you probably loved those situations because you felt your team had an advantage. Isn't that correct?
Well, we did. You know, the field conditions, the snow coming down, being extremely cold, it's different, of course. I mean, it's not the same element. And no matter how much you practice in it, a lot of people say, oh, you're used to it. You're not used to it, but you're familiar with it. So, you know, the type of cleats to wear, you know how the footing will be. It'll be a little bit different. When you're not accustomed to those conditions, you have to come in and adjust on the fly and figure things out. So there's a little adjustment there. But at the end of the day, you know, there's things you have to do playing in that type of weather. You got to hold on to the ball. You got to be more under control, in and out of your breaks. There are a lot of things that factor into that. And if you're accustomed and you're usually playing in those conditions, you know how to do it, like I said. And if you don't, you got to come in and try to adjust and prepare for it.
Do you think Gronk still has a big game left in him, or do you think that's behind him?
Absolutely. I think Gronk is on his way. I think the time off is definitely going to help him. You know, he plays a physical position, man. I played in the trenches. We hit every single play. I think a lot of people are underestimating, you know, because he hasn't been as productive as we're used to seeing. And that goes for a lot of parts of the team, you know. And that's what having a bye week is, making adjustments, getting better, getting healthier, getting that rest, and then coming out full charge, ready to go.
We're talking with Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. Phillip Rivers is 37 years old. He's been around for a long time. We've had the opportunity to see him. But really, Patriots fans haven't seen much of him for a couple of years now. And they may have fallen asleep a little bit on how good a year he's had. Threw for over 4,300 yards, 32 touchdowns. He's one of the three finalists for the FedEx Air Performer of the Year, along with Breeze and Mahomes. You could sleep on this guy, and you'd be wrong if you did.
I don't think many people are sleeping on Phillip Rivers. They know what he brings to the table. They know how explosive this offense is and what he brings to the table. He's a leader. He's the captain out there. He's still got all the energy he had years ago. He's still out there having a great time. And, yeah, he's finding a lot of different weapons. He spreads the ball around really well. You can tell he's still excited about the game, the way he talks about it. And when you watch him play, man, he's a competitor. He ran for a big first down for the Chargers last week. I was laughing to myself, like, man, and he got up and gave him the first down sign. I'm like, he's still a kid, man, out there having a great time. And he's still one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in the league.
I feel like Keenan Allen is a guy that kind of flies under the radar for how good he is. He doesn't get the attention that, you know, Odell Beckham or DeAndre Hopkins get. But how good is Keenan Allen? And do you think the Patriots would put Gilmore on him for most of the game?
Well, it just depends on what the scheme is. And I don't think Keenan Allen's flying under anybody's radar. He's been one of the, when he's healthy, he's one of the best receivers in the league. He's a great route runner. And I always call him the Chargers utility guy because he does so many different things. He runs those five sweeps. They put him in motion. He's a great route runner. And when Phillip needs the go-to guy, he's the guy that always seems to come up with the big play. So he's going to demand a lot of attention scheme-wise. I'm not really sure how they would do it. Sometimes they'll put the second DB and they'll double him over the top. Other times they'll put Gilmore and say, hey, this is your guy. Lock him down. Take him away. But like you said, you got Terrell Williams, you got Mike Williams, you got Hunter Henry that's coming back. Gates is still out there making plays. You got Keenan Allen. You got a lot of weapons on that offense. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Patriots scheme and how they match up against that that offense.
When you see Antonio Gates playing, do you think you've still got some game left in you?
I wish, man. You know, cheers to Antonio Gates, man. He's been great for a long time, and he's still out there. And because of injury, they pulled him back in, man. And, you know, hey, he do what they asked him to do. He'll make his play here and there, man. But he's had a great career, and he's ending it the right way in the playoffs. I'm happy for him.
Are you going to pick the Patriots in this game, or are you leaning towards the Chargers?
It's still early, man. It's Tuesday.
I know. We're not going to talk to you again. I didn't know if we could get, you know, sneak a pick here.
Well, guess what, man? Tune in to NFL Network. They'll like this, and I'll give you my pick in a couple of days. How about that?
Sounds good.
Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are the top seed in the AFC for a reason. They've been really good, and yet they're now hosting what might be the hottest team in the NFL. Are you going to be shocked if Andrew Luck and the Colts go into Kansas City and pull off the upset?
Nah, I don't think anybody will be shocked if that happens, but I think it's going to be tough. Going to Arrowhead, I think, you know, Pat Mahomes, like you mentioned, these kids, you know, what they're averaging, 35 points a game, they can score. So I think it's going to be a certain style. If I'm the coach going into there, I want to play. I don't want to get into a shootout with this offense. They can strike and hurt you in a lot of different ways. But the coach, man, I listened to Andrew Luck's post-game interview, and he said, we can score and attack you a lot of different ways, and he's not lying. I mean, they're running the ball well. We've been asking for the run game for I don't know how long, the last 5 years. Finally, they have some balance in that offense. That offensive line is you know, they're dangerous. They're road graders. And Andrew Luck is back. He's playing his best ball. He'll probably win, you know, comeback player of the year. And the defense is playing great. So they're hitting on all cylinders right now. Very dangerous team.
Do you think Antonio Brown will play another game for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I'm not sure. You know, that's been a big topic for the last couple of weeks. And, you know, when you have these type of situations in every locker room, you know, players that kind of get into it with other players, at the end of the day, you got to sit down and you got to talk these things out. Antonio Brown is the most productive receiver in the last 5 years, receiving yards and touchdowns. And basically, he's been the most consistent. And I know there's been some things going on in-house. What they need to do is sit down. You know, that's my advice. When you got a superstar, it's hard to move from a talent like that. A lot of Ben Roethlisberger's production is basically, you know, off of what Antonio's been doing. I think he's in a great organization, one of the most respected organizations in the league. I think the powers that be need to sit everybody down and have a conversation and work this thing out before we start talking about trades and moving on, because he's an important piece to that offense and to the Steelers organization.
Final question from me. Matt LaFleur is apparently going to be the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, taking away one of the options for Josh McDaniels. Are you getting the sense that Josh may be back here as the OC for the Patriots next year?
I'm thinking so. You know, in talking to Josh, he's happy. His family's happy there. And I think for certain coaches, especially coming out of that system, it's got to be the right situation from top to bottom. You know, coaching is not just drawing up plays and going out, putting on the headset on Sundays. There's a lot more that goes into that. You want to be a part of, you know, bringing in the players. You want to have some type of say of the 53-man roster. There's a lot of managing. There's a lot of other things that go into coaching and putting together a roster and preparing and getting the resources you need to be successful and working with the front office if you're not pretty much the GM/head coach. So I think after being spoiled for so many years and having things done a certain way and seeing things done a certain way in New England and watching how Bill has done it year in, year out, I think now coaches would be more hesitant coming out of that system saying, I need certain things to be in place, you know, before I make that type of move. And if it's not, then it's probably better to stay where you know where you are.
He is New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. We always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, guys, have a good one, man. Good to hear from you.
Take care. That is Willie McGinnis. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We have a Kiefer Madness coming
That's
up
right,
at
the first
today.
Of 2019.
And if it doesn't involve poop, I think we'll all be cheated.
TBD.
Okay, well, we'll see. That's coming up at 12:30. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Nonstop, wall to wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Well, here's what we know based on the information today. Conference call, Josh McDaniels of the Patriots to the members of the media. He did acknowledge that he interviewed for the Green Bay Packers job over the weekend. You know, was able to keep his duties going here because they were preparing for their playoff game, but did interview. The Packers job went to Matt LaFleur today, agreed to a 4-year contract plus an option. Pretty strong commitment on the part of the Packers to a first-time head coach.
Did he sign it, though?
I don't know that.
These verbal agreements mean nothing.
It's a good question. So Josh was asked today if he anticipates interviewing for any other jobs this year. He said, and I quote, "The book is closed."
The book has been closed. So
I don't think that's actually him, but that's close enough. The book is closed. It's always a humbling experience to have an opportunity. I'll be here moving forward. I've said before, I think I have one of the best jobs in the world. He also said that he has had no contact with the Cleveland Browns about their head coaching job. None. But he said, I'll be here moving forward. So he's not even going to interview.
So I wonder if he wanted the Packers job. And the Packers just said, we like Matt LaFleur
better. It sort of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Because he took that interview. He turned down Cincinnati, which makes sense.
That's smart.
That's a terrible job. I think you're probably better off being the offensive coordinator in New England, being the head coach in Cincinnati. But if you take the job interview with Green Bay, don't you want it? Like I would assume, and they must have felt stronger about Matt LaFleur, and they gave him the job, so now he's back. I would assume Robert Kraft is really happy, so they don't have to go back through what they did a year ago and you know, try to get him to stay, convince him to stay, give him a pay raise and all that. For Tom Brady, it's certainly a lot better.
Very happy.
I'm convinced that he'd be fine with another offensive coordinator, but you don't even have to do that. You don't have to go down that road. You don't have to get used to somebody else. You don't have to, whatever it is, there's consistency there. So I think that's good news for the Patriots. I was thinking, some guys in the league are just coordinators. Like, not every coordinator is a good head coach. Like, would you want Wade Phillips as your coordinator? Hell yes. Would you want him as your head coach? You would not.
Probably not.
Norv Turner. Like, there's a lot of guys that are pretty good coordinators, and I wonder if that's what Josh McDaniels is. Also, didn't it feel like after last year with what he did to the Colts that was probably going to be held against him? Then there was a time where just from reading reports and all these different rumors and connections that, you know what, maybe it's not going to affect him.
We know at least two teams wanted to talk to him.
But then it went
Cincinnati
back the other way.
And Green Bay. We don't know if Cleveland did. The reports were that they were very interested. But we know that Cincinnati and Green Bay, at least, he interviewed with Green Bay. He declined the interview with Cincinnati.
So 2 out of 8 wanted him.
Half of the interviews that Brian Flores.
I was going to say, Brian Flores, who's not even technically the defensive coordinator, and more offensive guys, I feel confident saying more offensive guys are going to be hired than defensive guys. Just
that
the trend.
Pretty accurate.
I just feel
sure.
like that's the way
Matt
it's going to go.
Offensive coordinator goes to the Packers.
Like Cliff Kingsbury just was let go as a head coach in college, and he's getting head coaching. He's getting at least as many or at least as much interest as Josh McDaniels is. So I think what happened with the Colts last year had to be held against him. Absolutely had to be. Those other six teams didn't even bring him in. Cincinnati, they're desperate. You could probably interview with Cincinnati.
I well, did.
What do you think?
I said
you
I
heard back?
I said I didn't want the job.
No, you said the book is closed.
The book, is closed.
Book is closed on that one.
I'm going to work with Keith moving forward.
and then I think it's a better job. I really do. And then Green Bay, they at least were interested. They wanted to hear from him. Either they didn't like it. Maybe they did like him, but they just like Matt LaFleur more. But
wouldn't
I think
I'd love to know
pretty
what,
telling.
I would love to hear the Packers give, and they'll never do this because it will be critical of Josh when they do it.
Yeah.
What did Matt LaFleur do that sold him to you? As opposed to Josh McDaniels, who's been an NFL head coach, has interviewed for a number of head coaching positions, you would think has had more experience than LaFleur at this.
He's had more success as an offensive coordinator, although he's also had Tom Brady. So,
that helps.
I mean, that certainly helps, and that should be factored in. I don't think Josh McDaniels would be able to get a ton out of Marcus Mariota. So that's all part of the thing. Now, if you're the Packers, don't you have to think, all right, who is going to fit better with Aaron Rodgers? You just do. Like, for the next 3 years, you better figure it out. And what did you say? It was a three-year deal or a four-year deal that he signed?
4 years plus an option.
So that's probably Aaron Rodgers' career, the rest of his career, 4 years, probably.
Well, he may not last all four.
Or maybe even
yeah.
less. But okay, so but still, you know, how you do these next few years is going to be directly related to how you do with Aaron Rodgers. And so the Green Bay organization obviously felt that LaFleur was the right guy. He's worked with a bunch of different quarterbacks. If you think about it, his time in he was a QB's coach in Washington, so he worked with all those guys for like 3 or 4 years, and they've had a bunch of different quarterbacks. Worked with Jared Goff last year, 2 years ago, and then this past year worked with Marcus Mariota. So, I mean, he's got that, and he's a young guy. Well, so is McDaniels. I mean, but. Yeah, so McDaniel, I would say, because all of a sudden, I think Mike Florio might have been the only one who brought this up, was saying that this is being held against him from what he did last year. And you're like, ah, no way.
And I believe that it would be hard for owners.
Yeah.
Forget the GMs. I could see a GM telling an owner, hey, look, I want to bring McDaniels in and talk to him.
Really?
And the owner saying, whoa. Do you not remember what he did to the Colts last year?
And don't you think another thing, I just think there's so many things to me working against Josh McDaniels as being a head coach. I'm not saying, like, just because you were bad once doesn't mean you're always going to be bad. But he was bad. That's on the list. Like that, it ended terribly in Denver. He also had one other opportunity outside of New England. That also did not go well. Their offense was dead last with the Rams. He had the thing last year where he agreed to it, and then he backed out. That's not a great thing. He's always had Tom Brady. The rest of the Belichick coaching tree, and I think William McGinnis was getting into that a little bit at the end of our interview with him. The rest of the coaching tree, on the one hand, you should take every candidate individually and say, how is this guy as a head coach? But the reality is, they've all been bad. I wouldn't want any of them at the NFL level. Don't give me Nick Saban. I don't count that.
I'll add an alternative possibility here. You know, our assumption is that the Packers selected LaFleur over McDaniels. Maybe McDaniels, after the interview, said, no, you know what? I'm good.
Maybe. I mean, there's...
I guess what I'm saying is it is at least within the realm of possibility that McDaniels was their first choice. He passed. They gave the job to LaFleur.
I mean, that would be surprising to me.
Sure.
What job is better? I think we both think Cleveland is.
Absolutely.
But if you want to be a head coach, let's face it, the jobs that are available are usually going to be crap jobs. Usually, right? Why else would they get rid of the coach? Unless the coach decides to retire or whatever it is. More often than not, you're going to be on a team that doesn't have a lot of talent, maybe looking for a quarterback. There's a few of them this year that have them, but they didn't want the Packers job this year. Like, what are you waiting for? Then at that point, you are just waiting to be the coach in waiting with the Patriots. And you just want to. So I guess that's still on the table. Like, he could be Bill Belichick's replacement in whatever year that is.
I'll say this, because of the logistics of Willie and his job. We tape Willie McGinnis on Tuesday mornings at 9:30. At the time we spoke to Willie McGinnis at 9:30 this morning, Josh had not yet said he's going to be here. he's closing the book. He's gonna be here going forward. But Willie was fairly definitive that he thought Josh was going to stay. Now, Willie did not know that, unless he's talked to Josh behind the scenes, which could well be the case. But at the time we talked to Willie at 9:30 this morning, Josh had not yet met with the media.
Right. Yeah, and Tommy Kern, we talked to him on Sunday.
On the award-winning NFL Sunday.
It's a good show. We asked him, you know, about both coordinators, and he thought they were both going to be back.
He's halfway home.
And so he is, and some of these jobs are getting filled. More and more guys are being popped up for interviews. So we'll see if Flores ends up leaving. But McDaniels, that was the one. Because now Cliff Kingsbury, it's also funny because we sort of let off the show with this too. Kingsbury, who it was a report yesterday, could be the offensive coordinator with the Patriots. Well, in the meantime, there's all these teams that want him to be their head coach. So you might not even have had that as a fallback plan, as he could take over Arizona or he could take over the Jets or who knows.
Now, this is probably, I mean, even if you're a Josh McDaniels detractor, and I'm looking at you.
As a head coach.
I understand.
As a head coach, I don't
This
want
is
him.
Good news for the Patriots.
Sure.
I mean, you're going to be undergoing some semblance of a rebuild offensively here with a 41-year-old quarterback going forward, soon to be 42 at some point during the next season. You're probably going to be looking at a tight end position that's bereft of talent. You're going to try to be rebuilding
position.
Wide receiver. Keeping Josh McDaniels in place here, I think, probably would help that a lot.
Yeah, I think it does, too. I think it does. Now, it also throws back into how much longer is Belichick going to be here? Like, at least that, when he came back a year ago, I was saying, oh boy, like, he knows he's going to be taking over sooner rather than later. That doesn't mean anything, because maybe these teams just didn't want him, you know, really just the Packers, maybe just chose somebody else, and then that was it. Now it's sort of reset, go back into it next year, there's going to be another 6, 7, maybe even 8 openings next year, and maybe you got your eyes on one of those jobs. But for right now, him coming back, yeah, that definitely helps, because you would imagine that there's going to be enough turnover on the personnel that you don't want to have to be dealing with it in the coaching staff as well.
Well, to your point, Mike Lombardi pointed this out yesterday. In the last calendar year, in the last 12 months, there have been 15 openings for NFL head coaching positions, including Arizona twice.
Right. That's half the league. I mean, it's crazy
so
if you think about it.
The chances are good if you're Josh McDaniels and you decide going forward. Now, he made it sound like he's here, you know, for the foreseeable future, but things change.
He could replace Patricia in Detroit next year.
You thought it was going to happen this year.
He could. He'd be like, hey, I'll
Matt
take that
Stafford
job.
Would be going, yeah, you got the wrong coordinator last year.
I mean, Carolina could be open next year. In all seriousness, Detroit could be open next year. There's so many ones that could pop up every single year. And just be like, all right, they got this guy. Well, I mean, he could be blown out of there. Anybody that was hired. This year, most of these guys should be safe. But last year that were hired, 2 years, you say, all right, Vance Joseph, that's not working. So there'll be other spots.
There won't be a lot of one-and-dones, but no, two-and-dones are not that unusual.
Yeah. But I can't imagine between the Colts. Now, Colts, at least last year, the Colts had the uncertainty about Andrew Luck. Like, you didn't know. At the time that he took the job, we all said, well, the Detroit job is a lot better that Patricia's taking than the Colts job. But that ended up not being the case. And then this year, I mean, the interview for the Packers job, that seems as good as there is. How often do you get to join a team that has a top 5 quarterback in the league? Those jobs almost never open up. So there was a chance for that, and so he's sticking here.
That's good news from the Patriots' perspective. Not for this year. You've got what
yeah, it's
you've
fine.
Got for this year.
Yeah. But to be honest, it's not a distraction. It's not one of these situations where you
That's
have a
true.
Coach.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah.
In the back of their
mind, Josh, you know, Green Bay says they're hiring Josh, and this could be his last game.
So I actually kind of
how invested is he in the game plan here?
Yeah, or even if he says, "All right, I'm all in," it's like you're not. You can't be. Like, you could want to be, but you got to hire a staff. You got to plan for the draft. You got to look at the offseason. You talk to your GM about the cap space. Some of your attention would be on your next job. It's like it's human nature. It'd be crazy if you weren't. Whereas now, I mean, he's going to be locked in. Everything is going to be focused on the Patriots offense. So if you look at it is a little helpful this year.
My Nesson colleague Doug Kide tweets out. He says, McDaniels proved last season he's not afraid to change his mind despite the outside optics. I'm staying skeptical until the Browns head coaching job gets filled. And that's fair.
Oh, my God. That's a great call. I didn't even think of that.
You know,
why are we listening to a word this guy's saying?
Why do we believe shouldn't. That he says he's staying? Why do we just accept that as gospel when
point.
He told the Colts he was going to take the head coaching job there?
That is a great. I didn't even think of that. You're right. I mean, there's still openings. I mean, the Browns is the one that makes the most sense.
But until the Browns' job, that's a great call. You're right. Why are we listening to him now? The Colts, they made a mistake. They listened to him.
Why do we all just assume that because he says he's staying?
Great call.
The door is
closed,
D-Sat.
What's the latest on the Browns? Because he was the Vegas favorite. The Vegas came out with a list of odds who the next Cleveland Browns head coach was going to be. And McDaniels was at the top of that list.
Now, he says he hasn't had any contact with Cleveland. Now, again, I understand.
But like, has his agent or whatever.
I understand. But even if your agent has had contact with Cleveland, you're not taking a job without talking to them yourself.
No, not yet. But he hasn't taken the job. But that seems to have cooled off the Browns talk. I mean, they've completed some of their interviews. They interviewed a whole bunch of people, right? I think their Twitter account was one of those ones that was, we just completed a job interview with, like, Brian Flores was one of the guys that interviewed with Cleveland. And there's a list that their own guys. I think is it Kitchens, their offensive coordinator, and then Greg Williams, who took over as head coach. They interviewed those guys back again. So yeah, that's the most fascinating job on the board by far.
617-779-7937. Is it good news from a Patriots perspective if you think Josh McDaniels is staying? That's what he said today. He said he's not going anywhere. Door's closed.
Oh, Doug Hyde's on to something, though.
Well, there's why do we believe him? 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.